You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Sometimes it's good just to remind yourself of this. Say, this is, come on everyone, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It is a deadly weapon against the forces of darkness. It is a mighty tool to establish God's purpose in my life. Now say these words tonight. Heavenly Father, take the words from this book, plant them deep into the soil of my heart, and bring forth for your glory a great harvest. Amen. Now give two or three people a Bible high five. Tell them they are really, really ridiculously good looking. You may be seated. Would you put your hands together and just thank the amazing musicians and singers? I felt like I walked into heaven itself. You guys are doing a great job, and great to see the knights here. I saw you guys this morning, and now you're here. I'm following you. That's what it is. You probably noticed. Okay. Well, at least there's no AVO on me, so I'm going to just keep stalking. It could be worse. It could be worse. You're right. Amen. Who's ready for the word tonight? How many people got one of these? Aren't they awesome? I'm so excited. Pastor Liam was saying we've been wanting to get one for years. It's just I haven't been organized enough to know what we're going to be doing all year. So beautiful Pastor Summer made me about 6 months ago, made me kind of say, okay, what's happening in 2017, and kind of held me to it. But I'm so excited. We want to do this every year. And just so that you've got a journal, you can take notes in church, you can write great things that God is doing. But page number four is the vision statement page, my God vision for 2017. Let me just kind of preface it this way. And I think the title of my message tonight is Lift Up Your Eyes and See. Lift Up Your Eyes and See. And, you know, most churches, and God bless them, will share. That did come across a little condescending, didn't it? I didn't mean it that way. Please forgive me. I was just going to talk. Anyway, so most places will do Vision Sunday, and it's really about the vision of the church. And so it's, you know, it's like, hey, church, this is the vision. This year, the church, we're going to do this, this, and this, A, B, and C, 1, 2, and 3. And we want you to partner with us in our vision, which is, you know, that's a good thing. It's a really good thing. But kind of our vision really hadn't changed in 11 years. It's kind of one church, many locations, impact the city of San Diego, you know, bust the devil's strongholds and raise and release a generation and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, we kind of preach that the other 51 weeks of the year. Connect, grow, serve, lead. I mean, that's what we preach all year. So we actually felt that, you know, for us, Vision Sunday was really giving you permission to have a vision, giving you permission to have a dream. And it almost sounds sacrilegious to a lot of people. Whoa, that's dangerous. And, you know, you're going to find as we unpackage this, why it's so important for you to have a vision. For you to have a vision for your life. For you to have a place where you're exercising your faith, believing for God to land. So before this night is over, I'm going to pray definitely over your vision and all that kind of stuff. And then at the end, I'm going to pray for all of those who have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. And just so you know, the gift of tongues is kind of like it's the key that unlocks all the other gifts. So there are 9 power gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the tongues that they received on the day of Pentecost was their own personal, private prayer language with God. But it was the key that unlocked them to then operate in all 9 gifts. Some people have a very, very poor theology. They say, well, you know, again, God is on a really tight budget. So he gives one person this gift and gives one person that gift, another person that gift. And, you know, he might have given Colin the gift of discernment of spirits. And then all of a sudden, Colin's in a situation where there's somebody here and they need a gift of healing. Colin's like, oh, man. If only Hammer was here. But, you know, he's on vacation with his wife in Cancun. And, well, I guess you're just going to die. Can I just tell you? Let me just say this. That's bad teaching, but it is taught. sadly. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he's a lot like my mother-in-law. Whenever she visits, oh my God, how many suitcases are you bringing? And I'm waiting for the kitchen sink to come in there. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, all nine gifts. He brings all nine gifts. Now, because of the way that you're wired, you'll find that there's probably two or three that are your strength, that are bent with your personality, but you have access to all nine. All nine live on the inside of you. Gifts of healings, gifts of miracles, faith, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. What am I missing? Anyway, there's nine of them. I think I just got through seven. But anyway, did I get him? All right. Well, come with me anyway in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. So it's enough on that. So I'm going to pray for people at the end. It's going to be a powerful night. I heard the hammer unleash this morning. Can we put our hands together for amazing campus pastors? I just love Pastor John and Becky. I got to tell you, I love John and Becky. Lorena, you're not bad either, love, just can I say. Your handsome husband. He's going up another level. I felt the anointing when I stood up on the stage. You guys are amazing. Genesis 13, verse 14 and 15 says, and the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him. Everyone say after. Sorry, let me do my American. Say after. Okay. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him. Oh, welcome all the people watching online. I apologize. I didn't mean to ignore you. We're so glad that you're here. We love online viewers. And I know all over the world and all over America, you're watching. We love you. We're so grateful that you're here. You know, I know you probably didn't get one of these because you had to turn up to get one. But if you get a piece of paper and begin to write down, I'm going to pray over your vision card for this year and believe God to do great things in you and for you this year. So watch this. It says, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, watch this, lift your eyes now and see. Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Last week we did Shredder Sunday. How many people here for Shredder Sunday? The reason we did Shredder Sunday last week and then Vision Sunday this week is based on this scripture. The Bible says that after Lot had separated from Abraham, God then said to Abraham, now it's time to deal with vision. He says, but I can't deal with vision until you deal with compromise. See, let me explain. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Abraham has two brothers. One of those brothers was a gentleman by the name of Haran. Haran dies and leaves Lot fatherless. Abram's name, Abram literally means exalted father. God speaks to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, the chapter before, says, get out of your country, get away from your father's house, get away from your relatives, and go to a land of which I will show you, and then I will make of you a great nation. So Abram is like, okay, well, I've got to go and meet new people. I've got to go and meet people I've never met before. When I introduce myself as Abram, when they say, what's your name? Abram means exalted father. So he literally saying, hi, I'm exalted father. Pleased to meet you, exalted father. Pleased to meet you, exalted father. Problem, his wife is barren. So he's got no babies. So he's thinking, hey, God, I know you told me to get away from all my family. However, this is legitimate. My brother died and little Lot, he's got no papa. So why don't I take him and I could be a surrogate father and I could pass him off as my son. That way I'm not ashamed. That way I'm not humiliated when I say to people, I'm Abram, I'm exalted father because I'm, and so you'll find that there were strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham because whenever we compromise, it keeps you from vision because of the strife that compromise. But I've yet to compromise in any area. Every time the devil has sold me a Mickey to compromise in my life, it has never added to vision. In fact, it's always subtracted from vision because it has always created mess and distraction and strife in my life. So the Bible says, finally, Abraham deals with Lot. And so Lot separates. Now it's interesting because the name Lot, if you look it up in the Hebrew, literally means veil. It means veil. So let me just say this. I preface all of this tonight to say this. If you did not deal with your stuff last week, can I tell you, deal with it now. Deal with it during the service. If there's stuff in 2:16 where you know you compromised, if there's stuff, areas in your life where you know God said don't, but you're doing, if God says leave it and you've brought it, can I just tell you, tonight, deal with it, because tonight is about vision. We want you to live with vision, okay? So that's enough. That's all I want to say about that. So now come with me to Gospel of Mark, okay? Gospel of Mark chapter 10. This is where we're going to be landing. This is where we're going to be unpackaging. Thank you, Jesus. It looks like I've got a few more minutes tonight than I had this morning, but I still need help. So help me now. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. This is what it says. Mark 10, 46. It'll come up on the screen behind me if you're still trying to find it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, page 1166 if you stole a Gideon's from a hotel. I'm not sure. All right. All right, here we go. Mark 10, 46 says, now they came to Jericho, period. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called to the blind man, saying, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now let me tell you something very, very quickly about the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that God has put there that he then elevates onto a shelf that is out of your reach. Everything in the Bible is in there to inspire you to reach up. But even when Jesus sent the disciples out, he says, you know, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, God does not set healing. He doesn't set deliverance. He doesn't set breakthrough where it's out of reach for you. He never does that. He will never say, hey, this is awesome. I've just built Disneyland, but you can never go there. God has healing. God has deliverance. God has miraculous. God has everything you need. And he puts it on a shelf that you do have to reach, but it's not out of your reach. It's not out of your reach. Therefore, everything I read in the Bible, I find that God has set aside for me. It's up on a shelf so that other people can't get their hand, but it's there for me. It's not there. He doesn't put it there to keep it from me. He puts it there to preserve it for me. Can somebody say amen? So I want to quickly pull some stuff out of here to help you, because like blind Bartimaeus who ends up with new vision, that's what I want you to leave here with tonight. I want you to leave here tonight with new vision. So come with me to verse 46 and we'll just pull this apart, and I'm going to give you some powerful but practical things that you can begin to apply to your life, and I promise you by the end of tonight, you're not even going to know yourself, all right? So Mark 10, 46, look what it says. It says, now they came to Jericho, but I want you to notice it has a period. In Australia, we call it a full stop. But up here, we call it a period. It says, now they came to Jericho, period. And then it says, as he went out of Jericho. So it's interesting. They, which means Jesus and the 12 disciples, came to Jericho, period. As they went out of Jericho, Jesus left Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. I find there's nothing in the Bible by accident. So I ask myself, why doesn't it tell us what happened in Jericho? He turns up to Jericho and now he's leaving. Like, was the coffee bad? What was going on? But you know what's interesting? If you just dig a little bit deeper, you'll find that Jericho was a cursed place. Joshua cursed Jericho. He said, let no one ever build you again. But knowing sinful nature, human nature, sons of Cain, in defiance of God, will actually see that as a challenge. So someone was going to rebuild Jericho. So he said, let the man who rebuilds you lay the foundation with his firstborn and finish the gate with his youngest. And many years later, a guy does that and does exactly that. His firstborn dies in the foundation and his youngest dies in building the gate. Jericho is a cursed place. Now all of a sudden it begins to make sense, because I find that Jesus comes into the cursed place. He's not afraid to go into the cursed place. I thank God that I serve a God who is not afraid to go into the cursed, into the messed up, into the jacked up, into the broke down, in the beat down, in the dysfunctional, in the places that I'm embarrassed about, in the places that I'm ashamed about, in the things that I have hidden in the darkness that no other eye can see. I find when I turn around, there is Jesus standing there, and I feel so embarrassed, I feel so ashamed, but I know he wants to deal with my Jericho. But the most beautiful thing is there's a full stop. There's a period in there, because why doesn't he tell us what happens in Jericho? Because there's none of your beeswax and it's none of my beeswax. He just deals with Jericho. But this is what I know. When Jesus and his disciples go into Jericho, they actually leave with a great multitude. Because if Jesus goes in there, you better believe he's coming out greater. He's coming out stronger. The dumbest thing you and I can do is not let Jesus into our Jerichos. Now, let me just tell you this. Many years ago, I heard this, that you and I are only as sick as our secrets. I gotta be honest with you. In my 31 years of being a Christian, there's been a number of times where I've had secrets. Always with the devil. Why would I let him? As I, you can trust me. I won't tell. Oh yeah, you're only the deceiver of the whole world. Of course I can. You can't trust him. Let Jesus into your Jericho. Let Jesus into your Jericho. When he comes into your Jericho, he's going to deal with your Jericho. He's going to deal with what's cursed. He's going to deal with what's in the darkness. He's going to deal with what's in the hidden. He's going to deal with what's in the broken. He's going to deal with what's in the dysfunction. He's going to deal with what's being gripped by shame and guilt and fear. Let him deal with that. It's a sealing over your life. Now, as he comes to Jericho, watch this. It says, as he's leaving Jericho, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. Sat by the roadside begging. It's interesting because he's blind and he's sitting by the road begging. He's begging from the people who are not blind. Because people without vision are always dependent on people with vision. The reason that Vision Sunday is so important, and the reason that the devil does not want us preaching to you about your vision, he don't mind us saying, hey, you know, this is the church's vision, and you know, any more than one vision is division, and you shouldn't have a vision. You should lay down your vision and just buy into the vision of the church. And the reason he wants that is because he don't want you to have a vision. Because as soon as you have a vision, you immediately become a leader. Let me explain. When I was 18, people would ask me, what are you going to do with your life? Do I have to make a decision now? I didn't know. I had no vision for my life when I was 18. But I had a decent aptitude, and so I did a test, and the test results came back, and I got offered an apprenticeship to be like a mechanical engineer trainee for a company called BHP Steel. Now, the person who started BHP Steel started with a vision to build a steel industry where they could export steel to all over the world, as well as different places in Australia, to build ships and to build, you know, skyscrapers and buildings and all kinds of stuff made of steel. That they had a vision, and because they had a vision, me that was visionless became a beneficiary. Because you will find that all the people that are entrepreneurs, all the people who start companies, all the people that engineer new ideas are all people with vision. Because the people with vision employ those who don't have vision. So the reason God wants you to have vision is so that you can be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. Because every person without vision is dependent upon people with vision. So we want you to have a vision this year. Because you will find just you having a vision, just you having a vision where God can land you, that vision will cause you to have leadership, and that vision will cause you to be able to minister to those who are blind and sitting on the side of the road begging, hoping for some mercy, hoping for some handouts, hoping for something. You'll find if your vision is for marriage, man, that my marriage, you'll find that God will meet you there, and he'll show you this, this, and this, and all those, and all of a sudden your marriage is flourishing. You'll find somebody sitting on the side of the road begging, on the bridge brink of divorce, and you'll be able to say, hey, listen, believe God. Let me tell you, I was where you, and all of a sudden you find yourself speaking into their life. So God wants us to have vision. So blind Bartimaeus sits by the side of the road begging. Now watch this, verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Now let me just say this. Before you see, you got to hear. Before you see, you have to hear. Before I can even begin to perceive what God has for me, before I can get a vision of what God has for me, I have to hear. When I begin to hear that there are churches exploding all over the world, now when I hear that, I can begin to get a picture of it, and I can begin to believe that just perhaps God could explode our churches in San Diego. When I begin to hear that you can be happily married for 25 years and only fall more and more in love with your spouse, I begin to get a vision that I can have the same thing. Everything shifts. Your vision is dependent upon your hearing. When he heard that it was Jesus, he begins to cry out because he knows that he's heard about Jesus healing the sick. He knows he's heard about Jesus raising the dead. He's heard about Jesus calming a storm. He's heard about Jesus turning water into wine. He's heard that Jesus has already healed the deaf. He's heard that Jesus already opened the eyes of the blind. So because he's heard the good news, he can now begin to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, because now all of a sudden, even though I'm blind, I'm beginning to see that I could possibly see. The reason we are a faith, hope, and love church is because we want you, when you make the effort like you do each and every week to come and sit into the house of God, one service to sit, another service to one service to serve, another service to soak. When you come in, I'm going to make sure that whatever C3 campus you come to, we're going to preach the word. We're going to preach the word of faith. I'm going to put faith on the inside of you. Why? Because I want your vision to go up. I want your vision to change. I want your vision to increase. I want you to have vision to dare to believe that things are possible, that you may have walked in here thinking, it's hopeless, it's game over, it's never going to happen. Man, we're on the pathway towards divorce. Man, they're going to repossess our car. We're going to lose our home, it's in foreclosure. I want you to sit in this place and hear a word from God, because everything changes upon the hearing of the word. When you hear the word, Jesus said, the blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, the dead are raised back to life, and the gospel is preached to the poor. Hang on, why not give the poor money? You're giving the blind vision, you're giving the deaf hearing, you're giving the dead life. Why would you give the gospel to the poor? Because it's the greatest thing I can give the poor, says Jesus, because I give them the gospel, the good news that you don't got to be poor no more. I give them the gospel that there is breakthrough, that there is blessing, that there is prosperity in the kingdom. So can I just encourage you, 2017, make a decision. When these doors are open, man, I'm in the house of God. People say, man, you went this morning. Why are you going again tonight, man? Every time I sit under that word, my faith rises, my vision increases, I'm seeing further, I'm reaching higher, I'm dreaming bigger than I've ever dreamt before. When he heard that it was Jesus, watch this, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. I love this, because when the word came in, passion was evoked. Passion was stirred up. See, I've got to be really honest with you. I've been a Christian for 31 years, almost 32 years, and if I was really honest with you, I've actually been quite a disappointment. Yeah. There were people in my first year that said, yeah, he'll calm down. Seriously, there were people in my second year that said, yeah, it's just, you know, it's what happens when you're newly saved. You're just on fire, en fuego. Infierno, si. Andy, which doesn't make any sense in Spanish, but Andy and I always say it. There are people that say, yeah, he'll calm down. But I've disappointed them all. 30 years later, I haven't calmed down. I'm as passionate today as I was then. So people walk in here and say, whoa, you guys are an enthusiastic bunch. Now let me tell you why. The Greek word where we get enthusiasm comes from a Greek word, enthuseo, and it's all the way through your Bible. Did you know that? Enthuseo is all the way through your New Testament. It means in God. Enthuseo is the Greek for in God, and it's all the way through your Bible. In God, we are more than overcomers. In God, in God. Enthuseo, therefore, enthusiasm is just being in God. Well, you know, I was preaching one time, and this kid came up to me and says, oh, yeah, that was a great speech. You know, obviously wasn't a church kid, and I took it as a compliment. Thank you very much. He goes, yeah, really inspirational. Do you know, inspiration comes from the word in spirit. So you'll find if you're in spirit, you should be inspirational. And you should find if you're in God, you should be enthusiastic. That's why a lot of unchurched people walk into most churches and they're like, wow, are they really in God? Because there's no enthusiasm. Are they really in the spirit? Because there's no inspiration. We should be the most enthusiastic. We should be the most inspirational. Now people think, oh, it's just hype. Well, you know, to the novice eye, it looks like hype, but I'm going to tell you, it ain't hype, it's passion. Now, let me tell you why passion's important. Blind Bartimaeus begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, and the crowd begins to silence him. The crowd will always silence you. Because as soon as you get passionate, the lukewarm feel convicted. So they either change or change you. And it's easier just to change, just to tell you to calm down, just to sling at you, just to slander you, just to gossip about you. It's easier to try and discourage you than them realize, oh, I got to. But what I like about Blind Bartimaeus is he recognizes that what stands in between where he is right now and his vision, his sight, requires passion. Now, let me explain that. In your life and in my life, we will face obstacles. We will face walls. We will face opposition. We will become aware of things in our life that need to change. Problem. Some of the things that need to change in my life have a cost attached to it. It might be somebody that I need to confront. You may be in a dead-end job and realize, man, I took a wrong career path, and it's the pain of resigning and going back to college and going back into what you felt like you were meant to do. You may be here tonight and he didn't put a ring on the finger. He just asked you to move in. He wants all the benefits of marriage. He just don't want to pay the price. And because your father never really affirmed you, you kind of thought, well, I really wanted that, but come on, we live in such a mess. Maybe I should just accept. And all of a sudden now for you to say, well, I'm a daughter of the Most High God, and I think I'm worth somebody getting down on a knee and asking for my hand in marriage. But there's pain attached to it. Listen to me. Nothing in your life shifts until the passion for change is greater than the pain of that change. Nothing in your life will shift until the passion for change is greater than the pain of that change. Most of us hide our stuff rather than deal with the pain of facing our stuff. But there comes a point where you just get so passionate. You're saying, I can't live this double life no more. I can't live in compromise anymore. I can't live below the poverty line anymore. I can't live in this struggle anymore. I can't live in this compromise anymore. I can't live below what God has called me to be over. And a passion on the inside of you will say, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to face this thing. I'm going to deal with this thing because this is my year and I'm not going to have another year where I'm living below what God has called me to rule over. So passion. Passion's important. But I want you to notice it's the crowd that tries to silence him. They tried to silence him. Be quiet. See, the great tragedy is we spend most of our lives trying to fit in. God never made you to fit in. God made you to stand out. And so I like blind Bartimaeus because he refuses to be a thermometer Christian. Do you know what a thermometer Christian is? It's the Christian that adjusts to the temperature of the room. A thermometer will give you a reading of, this is the temperature of the room. If people are worship, I'll worship. If people are... Don't be a thermometer Christian, be a thermostat Christian. You know what a thermostat is? Thermostat walks in and says, I don't care what you all think. That's the temperature. A thermostat Christian says, I'm en fuego despite. This is the temperature. I don't care what you all think. This is the temperature. A thermostat says in the middle of winter, yeah, we're going to be a barmy 74. We're going to have some flow rider right here, right now. And in the summer when it's 103 outside, it says, yeah, yeah, we're going to be a cool 67. That's what a thermostat does. It changes the room. It changes. You are called to be a thermostat. You are called to be a change agent. Don't let the crowd, don't let popular opinion, don't let the peers in high school, don't let the peers in college dilute your faith or pull you down. You make a decision today. This is 2017. I'm living on fire. I'm going to go all out for Jesus. I'm drawing a line in the sand and jumping to the other side. This is my year. I'm going to be passionate for my God. Now watch what happens. This is crazy, right? Watch what happens. So verse 49 says this. It says, so Jesus says, it is hot in here, isn't it? Is it just me? It's probably just me. I gotta take this off. I wasn't gonna take this off, but because I'm fasting, it's the only time I'd ever wear this. Becky, you're not meant to be laughing so hard. Okay, verse 49, watch this. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be, this is crazy. Like if there was a warning in the Bible, like, you know, one of those ratings, R rating, this should have an R88 rating. Nobody under 88 should be allowed to read this verse. But somehow it slipped through the cracks. It says, and Jesus stood still. Like, that's mind-blowing. You're like, how is that mind-blowing? Let me explain. Jesus is God coming to the world as a baby. He's a baby. He knows as much as a baby knows, not much. He has to grow up and he has to discover who he is. John the Baptist, his cousin, points him out, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. At 30 years of age, he recognizes and he knows and he understands not only who he is, but at 30, he receives the call to go into full-time ministry. His father says to him, son, you've got 3 years to destroy all the works of the devil. 3 years. You've got 3 years to plunder hell and populate heaven. My underwear is showing in the back. It's fasting. It's these silly jeans. Excuse me. I apologize. It's always summer that notices. How many people believe she should be on the altar call tonight? Jericho, right there. Jesus has got 3 years to save planet Earth. He's got 3 years to build a church. He's got 3 years to transform uneducated, unlearned fishermen and tax collectors. He's got 3 years to create an edifice that in 2,000 years' time will have 2.6 billion people on the planet worshiping the one true God. He's got 3 years. His time begins now. Can I just say, in 3 years, he is asked to achieve the impossible. Everywhere he goes, people are grabbing him and people are pulling him and he's in demand everywhere. And yet here the Bible says, and Jesus starts. If anybody doesn't have time to stand still, if anybody had an excuse not to stand, and yet Jesus stands still. He's not standing still because this is the king. He's not standing still because it's an emperor. He's not standing still because it's a governor or a prime minister or a president or a general or a commander. He's standing still because a blind beggar. Worse, it's a blind beggar with no identity. The Bible introduces him as blind Bartimaeus. Bar means son of. So blind Bar, son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. In other words, we don't know who he is. We haven't even bothered to name him. He's just a blind beggar. To the Bible writers, it wasn't even important enough. They didn't see him as important enough to actually find out what his mama and papa named him when he was a baby. But he stops Jesus. So it can't be his title. It can't be his position. What stops the Son of God in his tracks is his passion. When Jesus saw him, the crowd silenced him. And he cries out above the crowd, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stands still. When was the last time your passion arrested the attention of heaven? When was the last time your passion caused heaven to stop and gaze in your direction? But watch this. It doesn't just finish and Jesus stood still. It says, and Jesus stood still and commanded. You better believe that if you can arrest God's attention, if you can get heaven just for that moment, just to stand still and gaze in your direction, you better believe there's a command. You better believe there's a divine decree about to be. You better believe there are angels. You better believe there's a word that is about to be. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. I was called not because I was educated. I was called not because I went to Bible college. I was passionate. And then the call came, then I went to Bible college. I wasn't called because I did great things for God. I was called because I was passionate. Then I got to do great things for God. The passion always comes first. Passion always comes first. Jesus commands him to be called. Now the crowd, be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. Hi, Jesus. What's that? Oh, no, we're the crowd. Oh, yeah, we bend like reeds. We're spineless little amoebas. Yes, you know, whatever's popular, that's the direction we go. Rise, we got that from you, Lazarus. Be of good cheer when you were walking on the water and the disciple thought you were a ghost. You said, be of good cheer. Oh, that's what we like. We can copy. We quote scripture. We just don't live it. Rise is calling you. Be of good cheer. Beware of the crowd. Don't live according to the crowd. Blind Bartimaeus, really quickly. Throwing aside his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Nothing's in there by accident. He threw aside his garment. He threw aside his garment. Why would he do that? Why would he throw aside his garment? See, the garment that he was wearing was a government-registered garment, allowing him to be a legitimate beggar. He was allowed to beg with government approval on the good side of the street. Oh, those little scallywags on the other side of the street, well, they're not government registered. No, 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 they're begging illegally. Don't give to them, give to what? Government registered. Now, whether you're government registered begging or whether you're an undocumented beggar, at the end of the day, you're still a beggar. The best the government can do is give you an excuse or a reason to be an underachiever. See, we live in a world that's very, very quick to label you. Hey, it's all right for you to underachieve. Hey, it's all right for you to be a loser. You got ADD. Oh, yeah, I got ADD. You got ADHD. I got ADHD. You're adopted. I was adopted. You were dropped as a baby. I was dropped as a baby. You're abused. I was abused. You got dyslexia. I got dyslexia. Hey, it's all right for me to underachieve. The government gave me a registered car. You know what he's saying? He said, I ain't living with no government registered garment no more because I ain't going back to begging. I ain't going back to underachieving. I ain't going back to... So throwing aside his garment, he arose. Whenever you throw aside the excuses, whenever you make a decision, I'm not living under what God has called me to rule over, you're going to find yourself rising. He arose and came to Jesus. Now let me finish. Let me finish this. So Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Like, can you imagine the disciples? Jesus, what kind of a which one of you? It's obvious. Like, he says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Like, what do you mean? Now, how many people know Jesus never asks a question because he doesn't know the answer? Jesus doesn't ask him because he doesn't know the answer. Jesus asks him because he's trying to release the answer. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? They're like, don't you know what he needs? Jesus says, of course I know what he needs. That's not the question I ask. Jesus didn't say, what do you need? He says, what do you want? See, we've been lied to. We've been told that heaven is on a tight budget and the Lord will supply all your needs, but not your greeds, you greedy little. Oh, we must not want. No, just your needs. Heaven, you know, when the Lord paved the streets of heaven with gold, he really didn't think things through, did he? Kind of heaven's in a little bit of a deficit sense, and so unfortunately, it's just your basic needs. Let me just tell you something about God. God is not moved by need. Let me just say that, because one of the biggest arguments every time I meet an atheist, I discover they're not an atheist, they're just angry at God because they don't understand him. Because they're like, well, if God is good, then why are there people starving in Ethiopia? If God is good, then why are there wars? If God is good, then why are there famines? Let me explain, because God is not moved by need. God is not moved by need. Now, let me break it down. The person who's addicted to heroin needs to be set free. But he will remain addicted to heroin while it's just a need. The person who's an alcoholic needs to be set free from his alcoholism, but he will remain addicted while it's just a need. The person who's addicted to gambling will remain addicted while it's just a need. The person who's addicted to porn will remain addicted while it's just a need. The person who is in poverty will remain in poverty while it's just a need. But as soon as the heroin addict, as soon as the alcoholic, as soon as the drug, as soon as the porn addict, as soon as the person in poverty, as soon as the person in depression, as soon as the person in anxiety moves from need into want, Jesus doesn't ask questions. As soon as it moves to want, I don't want to live with this. I want to be free. I don't want to be enslaved by this thing. I don't want to live spending my entire week's salary for another shot into my veins. I don't want to be stealing from my family. I don't want to rob people. I don't want to live consumed waiting for my next high, for my next. I want to be free. When you want to be free, that's when God's power can travel. But until it moves from a need to a want, God's power is just waiting on the sideline, waiting to enter the game. You got to change a need into a want. What do you want this year? What do you want this year? I don't want another year like 2016. I want to be free. I want my marriage to work. I want my children off drugs. I want to see my family saved. I want to see my friends come to Christ. I want to stand for God. I don't want to live in compromise. It has to move from a need to a want. God's power flows to want. Because want and faith are two sides of the same coin. The two sides of the same coin. When you have faith, you have an ask. What's the things you ask for? Believe that you, faith always has an ask. You should always be wanting something. Don't believe the lie of the devil. This year, 2017, your vision card should be full of things that you want. Man, I want to prosper. I want to advance. I want to write a $1 million check for vision builders. Because if you can get to that place, imagine how many people you can help. Imagine how many people you're employing in your company. Imagine how many charities can be a beneficiary of your prosperity and blessing. I want to see my family saved. I want to see my children saved. Don't be afraid to want. Jesus says, what do you want? Because if he said, oh, I want lunch, Jesus would have given him lunch. Oh, I want a new shelter. Jesus would have given him a new shelter. Jesus had to ask him, where's your faith? He says, my faith is Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. I want to see. Jesus says, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight. Follow Jesus on the road. Come on, get your planner this morning or this evening. Get your God vision. Let Jesus into your Jericho. Let the word come in here tonight. Did anybody hear something tonight? Come on, I love you too much to just whoop you into a frenzy without anything to build your life on. You're here before you see. Passion. When the passion for change is greater than the pain of change, there's not a wall, there's not an obstacle, there's not a ceiling. You're going to have breakthrough after breakthrough. You're going to go to a whole new level. If you weren't here this morning and you didn't get prayed for, would you just stand up with your vision thing? If you weren't here this morning, yeah, that's it. Just stand up. Lift it up high to heaven. I'm going to pray a general blessing and then I'm going to open the altar. Wow, a lot of you. Father, I thank you right now. You see all these ones who are standing. Father, I ask that the power of the Most High God, the power of the Holy Spirit falls on these people. Can I just tell you, some of you need permission. Some of you that maybe grew up with a religious background, listen to me. When Jesus said to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem, you shall receive power. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's how life works. That's how prayer works. That's how blessing works. Your first lot of prayers should be for your Jerusalem, where you live, your home, your life in Jerusalem. That's where they were. Pray. It's not a bad thing to pray for yourself. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your family. Pray for your finances. Pray for your children. Pray for your health. God wants to meet you there. And once you find him meeting your Jerusalem, all of a sudden you find your Judea. Just surrounding, I pray for my family and pray for my cousin Joe and pray for my friends and God, my best friend. And you know what? At the same time, touch my barista and my hairdresser. You'll find yourself praying for Judea. And then Jesus says, now I want you to pray for Samaria. Samaria, well, hang on. Samaria, I don't agree. They've got different politics to me. Jesus says, pray for those ones you don't agree with. Pray for those in your workplace who are giving you a hard time. Pray for those who every time you walk in, they're saying got something negative and you don't really like them. Pray for your Samaria. And then now pray for the uttermost parts of the earth. And because you know that God has been blessing your Jerusalem, man, you got faith now to pray for the uttermost parts of the earth. So many Christians think that it's just selfless. I just need to pray for others. I just need to pray for the ends of the earth. And there's something wrong with me praying for my Jerusalem. No, you pray for you. You pray for your Jerusalem. You pray for your blessing. Come on, lift it up high one more time. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that this is the year that you're going to meet and you're going to exceed our needs. I declare and I prophesy Ephesians 3:20 that your God can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I hope you're asking big. I hope you're believing big. I hope you're asking audaciously because your God is an audacious God. Father, I'm believing for promotions. I'm believing for raises. I'm believing for entrepreneurs. I'm believing for inventions. I'm believing for business ideas. I'm believing for salvations. I'm believing that every addiction is broken. Right now, devil, I declare every chain, every shackle, every hold of addiction that is trying to hold these people into a prison, I declare broken. I declare them shattered. I declare it loose right now. These people are released from those things in Jesus' mighty name. I come against sickness and disease and the spirit of infirmity. And I declare it broken in Jesus' name. Father, those who are believing for ministry, those who are believing for increase in 2017, release it now. Release it now. Release it now. Come on, give God a great shout. Let's sing this song. Come on. Amen. You know, I'm over time, but if you're here tonight and you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit and received the gift of speaking in tongues, would you let me pray for you tonight? Just come and line up down the front here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to take maybe just another 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to pray for you. The power of God is going to hit you. You're going to be released in that. If that's you, would you just quickly come? Just quickly come and push in down the front here. Push in down the front here. The rest of us, we're just going to worship for just one song longer, but I want you as you're worshiping, If there's some Jericho stuff you need to deal with, would you let God into your Jericho tonight? Would you let Jesus? He'll accentuate it with a period. It ain't anybody else's business. It's just let Jesus come into your Jericho. If you let him in, he leaves with a great multitude. He leaves with blessing. He leaves with increase. Amen. I mean, come right over. Come right over so we can make room. There's lots of people coming. Lots of people coming. Amen. Almost done. Almost done. Are you ready to worship in a moment? Just, I want you to do this for me. Would you stretch your hands out towards these beautiful people down here? Those of you that are down here, let me just tell you something. Even more than you want this gift, God wants you to have this gift. Jesus said this, and he was speaking to the crowd. He said, how many of you guys are fathers? They're like, yeah, I'm a father. He says, if your son asks you for bread, how many of you would give him a stone? None of us. It's all right. He said, if your son asks you for an egg, who would give him a scorpion? They're like, what kind of crazy question is that? She said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So when you ask for the Holy Spirit, you don't get anything less than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you. He wants to fill you. Now watch this. When he fills you, Jesus says he fills you with power. Fills you with power. I can't see power. So what he does is he gives you a sign that there's a new power inside of you. And the Bible says in the book of Acts and all the way through the New Testament that they spoke in other languages. They spoke in tongues, languages they'd never learned, as the Holy Spirit enabled them. So they did the speaking, he does the enabling. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this, when I speak in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, I can be thinking of the football game, I can be thinking of the Dallas Cowboys, I can be thinking of other things. But I can be shabrada, rebedebe, sombrada, rika. I can be praying from here. What's awesome about this gift is the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought, so the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf. Intercede just means he prays on your behalf with groanings and words that can't be uttered. The Holy Spirit knows what you need more than what you know what you need. And so I spend most of my time just praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit answers this, and he does this, and then God moves on this, and God, because of the gift of tongues, it's the most powerful gift. So in a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and when I lead you in a prayer, I'm going to pray for you, and then I want you just to let flow from here. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, and just let come out what comes out. Now, your head is going to say, well, I don't know what to say. Exactly, because it's not coming from here anymore. It's going to come from here. So I want you to just to let it out. You're going to find that God, that gift, that beautiful gift, that infilling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive it tonight. You're going to receive it tonight. You're going to receive. Now, let me just tell you this. I've got a 100% track record. Everybody that I pray for gets filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks in tongues. So tonight is your night. Okay? Are you ready? Are you ready? So just close your eyes and say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, tonight I ask you to fill me. To baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Tonight I receive tongues and all the gifts of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, baptize me now. Amen. Amen. Now close your eyes. Father, I thank you right now, and I speak a release over each and every single one of these people. Father, let it flow now in Jesus' name. That's it. Just let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. That's it. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. Shebre de rebe de bes. You've got it, sweetheart. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. Shebre de rebe de bes. That's it. Just let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. All the power of God is in here. Come on. You've got it. That's it. You've got it, young man. Shokatia rakata. Ombro do seketes. That's it, you've got it, sweetheart. You've got it, you've got it. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. What you're going to do, you're going to have to move from English. That's the language you've learned. You're still praying from here. Let it flow from here. Let it flow from here. Let it flow from here. Move from your understanding to the Spirit. From here, whatever comes out, just let it come out. Let it come out. Whatever comes from here, darling, whatever comes from here, just let it flow. I know it's a bit weird because the brain's always been engaged. Just let it flow from your spirit. Just that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I can't make those words up quick enough in my mind. They flow from here. Come on, let's keep praying. If you've got it, would you put your hand on your neighbor and pray for your neighbor right now? There are many of you who got it. That's it. You've got it. Let it flow from here. Shake it. There it is. It goes right through you. You got it. Father, this man of God, let it flow. You've got it, sir. Shake it. You've got it, daughter. You've got it. Filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got it. Shake it. You've got it, sir. Shake it. Come on, team. Come in and minister. Come and help those who are struggling to break through. Come on. Let's sing this. Come on, burn! How many of you broke through? Show me. Come on. Can we give God a great round of applause? Now listen. Let me just tell you this. If you didn't break through yet, don't worry. Because you asked, you have received. I was ministering one time in New Zealand, and I prayed for a young man. He said, I've been prayed for 7 times, and I've never got it. And as soon as I prayed for him, God said, the first time he asked, he got it. It's just, he didn't know how to operate in the gift. He didn't know how to release the gift. But God gave him the bike for Christmas. He just hasn't put the pedals in and got on it and started riding it around. He got it the first time. And so God just said to me to tell him, listen, you already received it. I'm going to pray for you again. It's best that it comes out now. Because one of my best friends in Australia, when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, was at a full gospel businessman's dinner. And he got prayed for and nothing happened. He thought, oh, that's a bit weird. Well, it's a bit of a letdown. The next day, he used to clean pools for a living. Next day, he's cleaning pools. And the lady came out of the first house that he went to. She says, hey, how you doing? He's like, shabra da rega. And he said he couldn't stop speaking in tongues all day. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. This young guy wakes up at 3 a.m. Shabra da rega. It's just speaking in tongues, 3 a.m. The next morning, he comes to me at breakfast. Guess what happened last night? Guess what? It's in you. Is going to come out. We're just trying to help it come out here so you don't have an awkward moment in a restaurant after this. So you don't have a weird time with one of your clients tomorrow at work. We're just trying to help you get it out here. But you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, every single one of you, the gift of tongues and the 9 gifts that it talks about are all yours. They're all yours. God wants to make you His ambassador, His vice regent, His representative in the earth. The same spirit that was on Jesus is the same spirit that's on you. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. God wants you to operate in the same words of knowledge and the same prophetic and the same. And the gift of tongues is just the first one. It's a little gift so you have a personal prayer language between you and God. If you haven't broken through yet, Maybe I'll sing this song one more time and just let it flow from here. The brain, especially if you've been had other church upbringing, and some of you will say, well, hang on, if you're speaking in tongues in church, shouldn't that be interpreted? Well, let me just say this. There are three kinds of tongues. The Bible talks about tongues of men, tongues of angels, and unknown tongues. The tongues of men need to be interpreted. Tongues of angels need to be interpreted because they're messages from heaven, or they're messages one to another. But unknown tongues are unknown tongues. They're none of your beeswax what's going on. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, if anyone speaks in a tongue in the church, let there be two, at the most three, and then let there be an interpreter. Most poor teaching finishes there, puts a period there where there's no period. If you keep reading the verse, it says, if there's no interpreter, let him be silent in the church publicly, and let him speak to himself and to God. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God. Indeed, with his spirit, he utters mysteries. So when you see us praying, I ain't talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm speaking to myself and to God. The Bible says he who prays in a tongue edifies himself. So we just need to bring some good teaching. Now, if I got up and said, church, onda siete rama, ondre siete rama, if I began to speak a word, now I've got an interpreter because I've got your attention. And I said, a message, and you're like, well, I don't understand what you said. Well, now it's up to me to wait for an interpretation and then say, thus saith the Lord. This year is going to be a great year. It's going to be a year of blessing. And you'll find there are people that understood that language. They're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that he speak. I was speaking one time. And this gentleman came up to me. He was a professor of linguistics at the Sydney University. And he said, where did you learn that language? And I said, well, I never learned it. He said, no, you spoke fluent Sanskrit. He said, it's the oldest language in the world. He says, in fact, it's the language that all the languages came from. It's called the language of God. Where did you learn it? I said, I never learned it. I had no idea. I was speaking in tongues. I said, what was I saying? He said, you kept saying over and over again, God is good, God is light, God is life. God is good, God is light, God is life. Turned out he was in the Baha'i faith up until that moment. When he realized that I could not speak Sanskrit, I could speak in tongues, not Sanskrit, he gave his life to Christ that night. One more time, if you want to break through tonight and you haven't broke through yet, lift your hand high to heaven. Father, I thank you for breakthrough. Those who are around the people with their hands lifted, put your hand on them. Put your hand on them. It's yours tonight. It's yours tonight. Step out. Just step out in faith. Just cross that threshold tonight. Come on, step out. Take it tonight. It's your gift tonight. It's your gift. Just let it flow from your belly. Whatever comes out, don't even stop it. Don't even block. Whatever comes out, I promise you it'll be from God. It'll be from God. It'll be from, you've got it. You've got it. You've got it. Let it flow from here. You got it. You got it, sweet. That's it. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. That's it. You've got it. You've got it, sir. Come on, one more time. Let's sing how good God is. Come on. Come on. Thank you. on, one more time. Can we give God a great shout in His place? Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul! Hallelujah! 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 Amen. Lift your hands one more time. I want to pray a blessing over you. Thank you for staying 25 minutes longer than we normally try to on a Sunday night. But sometimes you just can't rush the Holy Spirit ministering to people. God is fast, but it's more about moving at the pace of people and their ability to receive. And we always want to be a church that's never in a rush to help people break through. We never want to be an express church. We want to take time to help you break through. If for whatever reason, I know there may be one or two of you that may not have broken through tonight, that could also be the Holy Ghost, because sometimes deep calls under deep. Sometimes I found that I didn't get it the first time. I didn't get the breakthrough the first time. So what it causes me to do, go back and just push in a little bit deeper. The Bible says that the deep calls unto deep, the deep things of God. Sometimes a shallow cry only gets a shallow response, but a deep cry gets a deep answer, a deep response, a deep breakthrough. Sometimes God will do that. Father, you see every hand lifted, every heart open. Father, I love these people. Father, I'm praying, Lord God, that this year they would be able to say in 2017, I felt God. I felt Him beside me. I felt His power within me. I saw Him go before me. He opened doors that no man could shut, and He shut doors that no man can open. He broke ceilings and shattered myths off my life. I began to dream bigger than I've ever dreamed before. I found myself reaching further, and I found myself experiencing and believing for greater. My testimony in 2017 is that God is good. It is that God is good, and His mercy endureth forever. That's going to be your testimony. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. We love you so much, church. God bless you. If you're fasting, take someone out for a juice. If you're not fasting, take somebody out for dinner tonight. But hey, we love you. Hug somebody. Love somebody. Have a power-filled week this week. Get ready, get ready, get ready. What you wrote down, you better believe God is wanting to meet you at there. And we'll see you next weekend. God bless you.